I have a question for you. I want a show of hands and an honest answer. How many of you had breakfast this morning? A large number of you. You guys had breakfast? You know, they say that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And I always feel guilty about that because breakfast mornings are never really my thing. But you know, at some point in the day, you have to eat food. I think simply by the fact that we are all here, present and alive, means that we've eaten food at some point in our past. Probably recently. Probably a Sunday afternoon lunch, and you went and had a great time and then went and took the necessary nap. We take care of our physical bodies. We take care of this temple that God has given us that we know we have to eat in order to live. And they may say that breakfast is the most important meal of the day, but my point to you this evening is this. It is by no means the most important nourishment that you receive. That lesson is going to come from Deuteronomy chapter 8, namely. Open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8. While you do that, I'm going to look for the clicker. Oh, there it is. We're going to talk about being nourished. And sort of a theme verse for this lesson tonight is from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. The end of it is going to sound very familiar. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 3 says this. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. The ending of that probably sounds very familiar because it was quoted by Jesus as he had just finished fasting for 40 days. And in his hunger, what he was noting was that man doesn't live just by food. He has to be nourished more than that. He has to be nourished by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. We're not going to be talking about Jesus tonight. We're going to be talking about this passage as it connects to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and some various lessons that we can learn from that. Deuteronomy chapter 8 was written to the sons of Israel. Those who had been in the wilderness for a long time. We are going to see them in the wilderness. And as they entered the wilderness, they had to deal with some hunger pains. And in each of the, I have three main points tonight. And for each of those main points, there will be two sub-points. The first one having to do with taking care of our physical bodies. And the second one, taking care of our spiritual bodies. As we see it not only in the lives of the sons of Israel in the wilderness as they are entering into the land, but also in our lives today, as we too need to learn to trust the Lord. They had hunger pains when they entered into the wilderness. The Lord emptied the stomachs of the children of Israel to discover what was in their hearts. It was a time of testing for them. Read with me in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2. Which says, you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. The Lord emptied the stomachs of the children of Israel to discover what was in their hearts. The wilderness was a place where the people were not, where the people were going to complain. Where their physical needs were not going to be evidently taken care of. In fact, it wasn't long after they had entered the wilderness, crossed the Red Sea, seen God's great power, before they recognize, wait, we're in the desert. And there's nothing around. The first thing that they notice is that they didn't have any water. Turn to Exodus. Exodus chapter 15, and we'll see where they see in the wilderness there was a lack. It was a place of testing because there wasn't any water. In Exodus chapter 15, beginning in verse 22. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah because they were bitter. Therefore it was named Marah, which means bitter. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" I'm going to read them as being as melodramatic as they really are. They panic. They say, "What are we going to drink?" Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. They had not gone 3 days past their deliverance. And they realized that they had gone into a place where their stomachs were not going to be filled with water. Or at least they weren't going to find it. They traveled for 3 days and didn't find any. And then they found water that they weren't going to be able to drink. This was a place of testing for them. And not only did they not find any water, but also, didn't find any food either. You don't even have to turn the page. After God miraculously gave them water to drink or changed this bitter water into fresh water, then they said, "Wait, hold on, we don't have any food." Read with me in Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. Then they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The sons of Israel said to him, "What that we have died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Man, these people just are pretty dense. God continually shows them that He's going to take care of them, but this is a place of testing. Their hunger pains were revealing what was in their hearts. The Lord emptied the stomachs of the children of Israel to discover what was in their hearts. But when the Lord withheld the abundance of food, He gave ordinances to the people too. Just after the text that we read in Exodus chapter 15, begin reading with me the second half of verse 25 and going to verse 26. There He made for them a statute and a regulation. And there He tested them. And He said, "If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in His sight, and give ear to His commandments and keep His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer." It was in this time where they were thirsty, and they realized that they had to turn to God to really be filled. And God at this point says, "This is a test for you. Listen to the words of the Lord." And when He said, "Listen," He says, "This is a test, and if you succeed, if you pass this test, I will be your healer. And if you don't pass, I will bring on you the plagues that I brought on the Egyptians." The Lord emptied the stomachs of the children of Israel to discover what was in their hearts, to see if they were going to obey His commands. That was when He gave them water. After the text which we read in which He gives them food, read with me in Exodus chapter 16, verses 4 through 5. Then the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them. Once again, that word comes up, that testing. Whether they will walk in my instruction. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. He was instituting the Sabbath at this point, where they weren't supposed to gather food on the second day. Once again, it was another time where they had to trust that God was going to be providing. But not only was He providing for their physical bodies, He was providing for their spiritual bodies as well, as He was finding out what was in their hearts. The Lord brought the children of Israel into a desolate land to teach them to have faith. When people are forced out of their normal, comfortable, complacent circumstances, you find out what's inside them. You find out what they are filled with. Think of the story of Job. Job, the one who filled his life with service for God. And as he filled his life in service for God, when his life was shaken, when Satan took his life and turned it upside down, just like the children of Israel, he was brought to nothing. All of his sheep, all of his possessions, all of his land, all of his family was stripped from him. His life was shaken. He found out for 40 some odd chapters after that what was inside Job. He was a man of faith. And his time of need taught him faith. It strengthened it. It deepened it. And that is the effect that it needs to have on this children of Israel. That this time where they were brought into the desolate land was to teach them to have faith. But faith in what? God was not just providing physical food. He was providing every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And it is by that they were supposed to have faith. That their faith was supposed to be strengthened. And it was in their time of lacking, their time of suffering even, that this is what they were supposed to learn. My life, I feel, has never really been shaken. But what am I filling it with? What are you filling your life with? We can talk about those hypothetical situations. What happens when the person puts a gun to your head and says, "Do you believe in God?" I pray that day never comes. But I pray if it does, I have filled my life beforehand with every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that it would build our faith. And that our hunger pains would produce that. You know, this children of Israel that we encounter in Deuteronomy, it's an interesting situation that they're in. Because the first generation didn't learn this lesson. They didn't learn faith in their time of struggling. Because what do you find them continually doing? Whining, complaining, getting to that point where they just want to turn back. Even when they came to the land of Canaan, they saw the promised land. They saw how full it was. They still had not learned to trust in God. They still had not fed themselves on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When He promised them, saying, "I will usher you into this land." So this second generation, they've never been to a few places. They've never been to Egypt. They were never at Sinai. In fact, they're having to repeat the vows that was made at Sinai. That the people would say, "You are our God and we shall be your people." But they've always been in the wilderness. And every day of their lives, God has sent bread, has sent water, has provided for their needs. Their sandals have never worn out. Their clothes have never worn out. All they have ever known is the provision of God. For that, this second generation was able to have that faith. And they were able to enter into the promised land. They learned this lesson where the first generation did not. And we need to learn that lesson today. That we need to be fed by the provision of the Lord. And that it needs to build our faith. They suffered hunger pains in the wilderness. But one thing that they also were, is they were filled by the Lord. We've touched on it a little bit. But the faith of the people was not empty. Because the Lord filled their mouths through extraordinary measures. Through extraordinary measures. What were their basic needs that they kept pleading to the Lord about? They kept crying to the Lord about that we've already talked about a little bit. Lord, we don't have any water. So the story that we've already read is where God took a tree, dipped it in the water that was bitter and undrinkable, pulled the tree out, and they were able to drink the water freely. Because it was made sweet. We've already talked about the bread that just showered down every day. And every morning, bread just covered the ground. All they had to do was go outside, pick it up. I don't know what preparations had to be made on it. The Bible's not explicit. Does that happen today? My parents always told me that money doesn't grow on trees. It doesn't just come naturally. But every day, it just seems as if every need was taken care of. Just showered down magically and it covered the ground like dew. There was another time that God gave them water. And actually, by rabbinic literature, it says that this rock followed them. But it's when God told Moses, strike the rock. Turn with me to, where is it? It's from in Exodus chapter 17, not too far after what we've already been reading, verses 1 through 6. Then all the congregation of the sons of Israel journeyed by stages from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord? But the people thirsted for water, and they grumbled against Moses and said, why now have you brought us up from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? Complaining just keeps getting louder. Verse 4. And Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do to this people? A little more and they will stone me. Then the Lord said to Moses, pass before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. And take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. And behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that my people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. This passage, when referred to in Deuteronomy, refers to it as a flint rock. But God provided that. Out of something that is always dry, if we have any geologists, I think is what it is, that studies rocks. They'll just tell you that all rocks are is dirt pushed together really tightly. It's not exactly a source of hydration. But God, through extraordinary measures, just says, strike the rock, and it'll just start pouring out. Through extraordinary measures, he took care of the sons of Israel. And even more than just taking care of their basic needs, they also said, in Egypt we had meat. Oh, that we wish we could go back to the meat pots that we had there. So God continues to provide. Even more than what they needed, through extraordinary measures. In Numbers chapter 11, turn to Numbers chapter 11 with me. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 31 and 32. Now there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quail from the sea, and let them fall beside the camp about a day's journey on this side and a day's journey on the other side, and around the camp about 2 cubits. That's about 3 feet deep on the surface of the ground. It piled up so high. They were about 3 feet deep. Can you imagine quail stacked up that high? It's like the all-you-can-eat buffet for a couple million people. Was this normal? Or was this God providing for his people through extraordinary measures? They were filled by the Lord. And this is summed up in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 14 through 16, where it says, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt and brought you to the house of slavery and led you... And led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. And he brought water for you of the flint or the rock of flint. In the wilderness he fed you with manna which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and he might test you to do good for you in the end. Deuteronomy here notes that God has provided for their physical needs. I don't think there is a person in this audience that could ever say their physical needs were not taken care of. We have more than what we need. Always. And though when I was a child, I just didn't understand that money didn't grow on trees and our needs weren't just magically taken care of, I was taken care of. I understood that as a child. And adults, I think they can recognize that even more. Recognizing the jobs that we have. That God continually provides a place to live. That God gives us family. I know I've mentioned before, but I just love hearing children pray because they recognize how much they are taken care of. When they just start looking around, you can tell at the dinner table where they're just one eye open and glancing around to see all that the Lord has done. The Lord has provided for our physical needs too, though probably not through extraordinary measures. We are so well taken care of. We too are filled by the Lord. But the Lord provided for every need as he filled the people with the word of his mouth. You know, I kind of imagine birds. You know when a mother bird feeds her chicks? Have you seen that happen probably on National Discovery or who knows what, the Animal Channel? It's this mother bird, and she goes out and she gathers food. She stores it in her mouth, and by the time she gets back, she gets a nest full of her chicks just with their mouths open wide, chirping as loud as they can. And basically, she just, like, vomits in their mouth. It's not exactly a pretty image. But on a much more pleasant scale, that's exactly what God has done for us. That God, out of His mouth, has filled us. And man, does His regurgitation taste good. Now, God has provided for our every need by the word of His mouth. Everything that He's spoken, everything that He's commanded, every promise that He's given should fill us completely. And we don't need to spend hours talking about how much faith we need to have in God to provide. But it needs, and to Him we need to look for direction to provide for our physical needs. But it's to Him that we also need to look to govern our spiritual lives from the words of His mouth. Now, all of these things were said in the wilderness. And also in Deuteronomy chapter 8, God starts to show them that He's going to bring them to a place completely unlike the wilderness. They were going to the land of full. Every time I ran through that major heading, I thought of Taco Bell and their like little cheap menu. I'm full! Except on so much better, they were coming to a place that didn't have Taco Bells, but it had a land flowing with milk and honey. Read the description with me of the land that God was bringing them to as the Lord was bringing the people out of the wilderness to a land full of physical blessings. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 7 through 10. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. A land of brooks and of water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in the valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates. The land of olive oil and honey. A land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. The Lord was bringing the people out of the wilderness to a land full of physical blessings. This is where I feel like we really meet the sons of Israel. Because we're not in a desert. Even when I was living in San Diego, and that's pretty close to a desert sometimes. We don't live in a desert. We don't live in a place where we go hungry. Except by choice. We don't live in a place where we can't find clean water. We don't live in a place where there's a scarcity of anything. Our home is a lot like this land which the children of Israel were ushered into. A land that is full, where you can eat and be satisfied. Where the land brings opportunities not just for bringing about your physical needs, but also you can mine copper. I don't know if any of you have aspirations to be a copper miner, but God was just giving them so much more. A land of wheat and barley covering the hills. We could keep talking about this description for a while. But I need describe nothing else than your cupboards, which are full. Well, maybe. Mine aren't very full, but that's by choice. We have been blessed with so much. And so those hunger pains that the children of Israel got to experience, we don't really know. The thirst that they had, I've sure never known. But that's where I think we need to learn the same lesson that is being given the sons of Israel as they're entering into this land. The people were to learn from the years of the Lord's provision to remain faithful even when full. After God describes this great land that they're going to be in, He continues on to say this. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 through 20. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and my strength of my hand has made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who is giving you power to make wealth, that He may confirm His covenant which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. It shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God, and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, you shall perish because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. He says, remember this lesson in the time that you're full. Remember to continue to seek the Lord. Remember to trust in me. You know, earlier on we read a passage where God instructed them to have a Sabbath. And we may think of that Sabbath as a day of rest, but it was also a day where they weren't supposed to gather any food. In fact, there were whole years dedicated to not planting fields. Every seventh year, they were, while in the promised land, they weren't supposed to sow any seed. And then, after 50 years, a second year in a row, the year of Jubilee, which had a whole lot of things attached to it, which we don't have time to give justice to today. They also were, again, not supposed to plant any seed. Why? Because, here's my hypothesis, that they, in those times, are almost supposed to return to the wilderness. To continue to be reminded of that lesson when they had to trust in God to take care of them. Can you imagine not working for a year? Is it, like, would it be hard? Is it hard? For some of you, I know there are some in this congregation today who they're experiencing that very thing right now. But where do we turn? We have to continue to trust in God for our provisions. And that's the lesson that they were supposed to continue to learn while they were in this wilderness. Or while they were in the land and while they were full. The Lord was bringing them to a land full of blessings. And they were supposed to learn from all those years that in their hunger, even in their times of plentiful, they were supposed to look to the Lord. We've been talking about the last half hour, this association between our physical bodies being taken care of and our spiritual bodies being taken care of. I know just by the fact that you are here, you've been taking care of your physical bodies. You've been eating. But we need so much more than that. And for that, I have a 7-day challenge for you. To associate that physical provision with what God provides for us every day. A 7-day challenge, and that's this. No Bible, no breakfast. How can we continue taking care of our physical bodies and not daily seek the Lord. Daily feeding ourselves with physical food and not daily seeking the word of His mouth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of God. I'm not saying don't eat. I'm not saying starve yourself for an entire week. You may not make it back here. But just remember, before you take care of that physical body, we need to start taking care of our spiritual bodies. I won't ask for a show of hands like I ask for our physical food, but how many of you are reading your Bible daily? I think I'm just blessed because you guys have given me the opportunity to do that on a daily basis for hours in the day. But it's that we need it so much. We need that spiritual fulfillment. We need that spiritual nourishment. So before you have breakfast every morning for 7 days, I want you to open your Bible. And I know that's a pretty ambiguous request. Just open your Bible. You know, Frank has been pretty diligent to put in the bulletin every week, if you haven't noticed yet. As you open your bulletin, front page, as you open it, on this inside flap, there is a daily Bible reading assignment. Maybe that's something that you can dedicate yourself to for a week. That you will fill your spiritual lives before you feed your physical bodies. And I know that as, even just as this plan is laid out, it's week 7. It may be a little bit dizzying to just jump into it. Though I encourage you to just jump into it. Another thing you might do is just take a section, read about 25 verses every day from Psalm 119. Open your Bibles to Psalm 119. And particularly, I think we're going to read verses 131 through 133. And I think this is a good verse to conclude our evening. Psalm 119, verses 131 through verses 133. I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me after your manner with those who love your name. Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let iniquity have dominion over me. I opened my mouth and panted, saying, feed me from your word. That's my challenge to you this week. I pray that during that time, you recognize the association between taking care of our physical bodies and really having spiritual health in God. There's a big Bible in front of us. God has spoken a lot. I pray that we can be filled with all of it. But as we read, do you know what you're going to find? You're going to find a God who desires you. Who desires your life. Who desires your submission. You're going to find a God who loves you. Loves you so much that He was willing to sacrifice everything precious to Him to have you. You're going to find opportunity to do God's will. You're going to find opportunity to encourage one another. All of these things that we find in the Bible, I hope you would heed today. As you see that God who has provided so much, not just for your physical bodies, you know what He provided for your spiritual body, for your spiritual life, so that you could have an eternity with Him forever. He provided the body of His Son, His innocent Son. And He smeared His blood all over Jerusalem. He killed Him so that we could have life, so that our spiritual bodies can be sustained. And what a wonderful opportunity that presents to have life, to be filled, to be nourished by God, and also to receive the provision that He provided through His Son, not that His blood was spilt all over Jerusalem, but that His blood can cover you. His blood that can cover your sins. There may be some tonight who are just starved because they've never partook of that great sacrifice. Or if they have and are straying from it, just find themselves starving. I pray you be filled tonight. Either be washed in His blood or return to His fold.